Well, good morning, everyone. I've been so blessed this morning for the last 30 minutes, just been listening to music. And so I think every week, if you want to come early, depending on how much world you got in you and how long it takes you to get the world out of you, we'll be playing some music from 6 o'clock on. And we all get plenty of dosages of so-called world news. And I don't know how much turmoil and confusion you can take, but it's really good, isn't it, just to sit quietly before the Lord and let Him minister to us. And it just is amazing what it does. And so you're welcome to come anytime, but we probably will start at 6 with music, and we want to stick to the same schedule, 6:30 prayer, but that's just a bonus if you want to come early. Well, this morning, before we do open in prayer, I just want to introduce Psalm 118. And I want to just read a commentary on this psalm that's 700 plus years old. It was given by Martin Luther. Martin Luther quoted this to his scribe, Abbot Frederick of Nuremberg. "This is my psalm, my chosen psalm. I love them all. I love all Holy Scripture, which is my consolation and my life. But this psalm is nearest my heart, and I have a peculiar right to call it mine. It has saved me from many pressing dangers, from which neither emperor nor kings nor sages nor saints could have saved me. It is my friend, dearer to me than all the honors and power of the earth. But it may be objected that this psalm is common to all. No one has a right to call it his own. Yes, but Christ is also common to all, and yet Christ is mine. I am not jealous of my property. I would divide it with the whole world, and would to God that all men would claim the psalm as especially theirs. It would be the most touching quarrel, the most agreeable to God, a quarrel of union and perfect charity." Father, we bow down before you this morning and just so thankful that we can gather, so thankful that we can come to you, so thankful that we have your precious word, so thankful that we're reminded of your glory and your grace and your goodness and your mercy. And so, Lord, as we will read this and meditate just a little bit on one of the Psalms quoted quite often in the New Testament, but it's just about you and your glory and your mercy. And so, Lord, lead us and guide us by your Spirit as we would surrender to you and we would push aside all of the noise and all of the clamor and all of the self that's there and just hear you. So open our hearts now, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. I will ask you on verse 4 to responsively read, "His mercy endures forever," but just get those words in your mind. We begin this psalm, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever." And now verse 4, that's for us. "Let those who fear the Lord now say," what? "His mercy endures forever." Wonderful. "I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. But in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and a salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. We see this psalm is laid out in not an acrostic, but it's laid out in a very repetitive way to make it easy to memorize, because there's so many repetitions here in this psalm. But as we begin, it just says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Now, you'll notice the Lord, sometimes translated Jehovah, sometimes Yahweh, but it's always Jehovah God, right? Yahweh. It's given 28 times in this psalm. There's 29 verses, so that's about once per verse, isn't it? So if you want a psalm about the Lord, about Yahweh, this is a good one. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he is good. And another, for his mercy endures forever. Goodness and mercy. The psalm is entitled, in my Bible, Praise to God for his everlasting mercy. I think we should say for his goodness and mercy. But isn't that wonderful? Just think about two words describing our Lord. He is good, and his mercy endures forever. And now we have a repetitive, starting with Israel, and then going to the house of Aaron, and then coming to us. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Then the religious leaders, let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Now just think about that. What if the United States would say, his mercy endures forever? What if the house of our religious leaders would say, his mercy endures forever? But we, the verse 4, let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. So we are the ones. We are the ones he's using today. We are the ones to bring this good news to the Muslims, to the Buddhists, to the Hindus, to the so-called atheists, to the agnostics, to the twisted and perverse ones. Can we say that? Or is our mind so filled with hatred and disgust with them that I don't even want them to know the Lord? No, I don't think that's the Lord's heart. His mercy, his mercy, his mercy endures forever. And the only reason we're sitting here saved today is because of his mercy and his grace. There's nothing good in any of us. So Paul would say, why do you glory in things you have since they've all been given to you? They aren't from you. But going on here, I called on the Lord in distress. So who do you call on in your distress? The Lord answered me. That's good, because other people you call on in distress won't answer you, generally speaking. At least won't give you the right answer, generally speaking. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place, in a wide place. Are you in a wide place, or do you feel like you're walking on the edge of a cliff? On a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. Do you believe that? What can man do to me? Now, you may say, oh, I'm worried about a war. Oh, I'm worried about Iran. Oh, I'm worried about this. Really? Are you really worried about that? I just pray that through that, so many more people will come to the Lord. We're going to have wars and rumors of wars. And you can pray for peace, but that's not coming until Messiah comes. I think it's good to pray for peace, but understand, we can't bring peace. No peace treaty can bring peace. And as long as we're rebelling against the Lord, there's not going to be a lot of peace. The Lord is for me among those who help me. Isn't that good? The Creator of the universe is for us. It's for you. It's for me. The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. Who's going to take care of them? He will. And then we got a couple of it is betters here. It is better to trust in the Lord, amen, we say, than to put confidence in man. How true that is. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in leaders or princes or politicians. But I have to really thank the Lord today for what he did this last week with Mike Johnson. That was an amazing miracle to put that man, to give him unanimity among a bunch of quarreling, snarling men like myself. And he's the real thing, isn't he? His wife is praying for 2 weeks on her knees, he said. So they have a daily podcast, I believe, Christian podcast. And he's actually even on Ray Comfort's board, I think, too. I mean, you know, for an evangelist. But he's the real thing. And going on here, they surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. So we got surrounded, 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 or encompassed, whichever your translation says. They, the enemies, his enemies, all the nations surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Well, we have a spiritual weapon, and that's prayer. Verse 12, they surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. You know, thorns break into fire very quickly, but they burn out right away. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. They burn out right away. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. You push me violently that I might fall. I'm thinking of Satan and the workers of iniquity there. They're always pushing us violently. He is workers of iniquity that we might fall. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. Can you say that? The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become what? My salvation. Now, who is that? Who has become our salvation? Jesus Christ. This is a very messianic psalm, and when we get to these verses 19 through 29, they're all about Jesus Christ. But here is the first salvation mentioned here, I believe. Going on, verse 15, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous, in the tabernacles or in the homes. Is that in your home, the voice of rejoicing and salvation? That should be totally different from outside your home. Because outside your home, there's not a lot of rejoicing. And there's not a lot of salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. Now we have the right hand given to us three times here. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. Again, repeating, the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die but live. Just think of that. The whole world is worried about death. But it shouldn't be so for us. Didn't Jesus say, if you live and believe in me, you will never die? Do you believe that? I shall not die but live because of him and declare the works of the Lord. Are we doing that? Did you do that yesterday? Did you do that all week? Do you do that? Is my life declaring the works of the Lord? Verse 18, the Lord has chastened me, and may we be thankful for his chastening. May we be thankful for that. We don't like it, but may we be thankful for it. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. So why does he chasten you? To get you to turn around. You're going in the wrong direction. He has not given me over to death. Now, these last verses, 11 verses here, are all messianic. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them. Is your heart willing to do that? Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. Easy to say, are we doing that? This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. Exactly speaking of the Messiah there, of our Lord Jesus Christ. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. Going on, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief corner. We can think back to our studies in Daniel of the fifth and lasting kingdom, which will be his kingdom, which will never end. He has become the chief cornerstone. And you know, they didn't have in those days, they didn't have lasers and everything to set out foundations and all, but what they did have, they would have a cornerstone, and everything was measured from the cornerstone. But what a picture that is in our life. Is Jesus your cornerstone? Is everything in your life measured from him and to him and about him? That's really a humbling thought, isn't it? And everything in my life should be compared to him, not to those around me who I look at them and I say, well, I'm better than they are, or worse or whatever. But no, he has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And then it was culminated when? On April 6, 33 AD, I believe is the date. That's the day the Lord has made. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's not in them. Often this is quoted on a Sunday, which is fine, I guess. Often it's quoted on, you look at a pretty day and you say, oh, this is the day the Lord has made. That's good. Go ahead and say that. That's fine. But remember what this verse really means. It's not that. It means the day that came from Nehemiah, Artaxerxes, Longimanus, in that command to go back and rebuild and restore Jerusalem. And we have, what, the 70 weeks of Daniel. So to the day Jesus came into Jerusalem on a donkey, announcing his messiahship. That's the day we're talking about here. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And they go on to say, Hosanna, or save now. We have Hosanna, but the Hebrew there is Hosanna. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. I think we should pray that prayer, save now. That prayer, save now. That prayer, save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Underline that word light in your mind, because who is our light? It is Christ. He has given us light, and then it goes ahead to describe that. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Or think in terms of John 3:16 there. Because of his love for the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Wow. May those words go deep into my heart, deep into your heart. And then he closes with the same verse that we opened with, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Oh, Lord, we're just speechless in a way as we think of you and your awesomeness, how you love us, and the fact that you are good and that your mercy endures forever. And that we have that promise of being forever with you, forever in your glory, as you said you want us to be with you, that we could behold your glory, that glory which you, Lord, received from the Father before the foundation of the world. How you love us, how you love us. So here we are this morning, Lord. May we praise you and exalt you in our hearts.
Yes.
And as we pray to you, may it be petitions, yes, but also just that overwhelming response to your glory and to your awesomeness. So lead us in these moments together by your Spirit. Let's close in singing this song, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less," the Cornerstone version. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. So let's stand and sing this song, if you will. The words on the second page, back page of your sheet.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ
the hand next to you, each side, please. Let's close in first, just a silent prayer for the person on your right. Now a prayer on your left. Father, we bow down before you. We just thank you for the love that you put in our hearts for one another. Bless each one in this circle, and we've each had a couple of prayers for us. You know what we need, and you will give us what we need. We're confident of that. So bless each one here, Lord, and there are a lot of needs here, Lord, but I know you will meet them all. And may we look to you and nowhere else. And Lord, may we get rid of anything that shouldn't be there, Lord.
Yes.
And help us to add to that recipe that we would have a nicely baked cake and not a flat one or whatever, Lord. So whatever we need, may we, it's all there, but may we take it in, Lord. So we thank you for meeting us here again this morning. And Lord, may our lives be changed because of these times that you give us every day to be with you. And direct our steps now by your word. May no iniquity have dominion over us, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Bless and guide in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Remember, we'll begin at 6 o'clock with music, but the prayer will begin at 6:30. So if you want to come and get unwound, come at 6 o'clock.